Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, Mom. How are you?
How are you?
I'm great, and good
Peter,
to hear you.
I wonder if you could explain something for me about money laundering. Do you think $15,000 is money laundering? Leaving the country.
Because money laundering $10 to $5.
Okay then. Do you know we have a serious money laundering problem in this country? And I wonder if the government, in fact, the Attorney General spoke about all those things the other day. And I wonder if the checking, the one with a different color, are talking about the with a different year that moves out of here with all this amount of money. And that is why our country is suffering today.
But you have to be careful, though, to distinguish between money laundering and essentially exporting foreign exchange without permission.
And
there's a slight difference between the two.
Okay, so I leave in that day. Another thing is about...
So wait, if a woman comes to Barbados and works, and she has different color hair, this is what you mean? And she gets paid in U.S. currency and she takes it back.
The amount you're sending back per week.
But she works for a lot of money.
Yes, the amount you're sending back
What kind of work so she doing though to get this money?
If some of them don't work in at all. Because
So then how they getting this money?
You can't be running a little tiny store and sending out $2,000 per week out of somebody's country. That is money laundering. Yes, that is money laundering.
I don't know of what you speak, ma'am.
Yes, Peter, I don't want to push it further, but you know what I will ask the Attorney General to do for me and my Prime Minister and my Attorney General to do for me? Take the stand that Keith Riley took in the last couple of days. Take somebody to jail for me. And
but Keith Riley ain't locking the body?
Pardon me?
Keith Riley ain't locking the body?
Whoever it is, lock them up.
No, it's the Director of Public Prosecutions that recommended that charges be brought against her. But Keith Rowley reacted after the fact and fired her.
Okay, well then.
But you can't say that it's Keith Rowley that do nothing.
I asked my Prime Minister and my Attorney General right now, make me feel happy. Taking the destruction of this country that DLP government leave here, time for them to take in some people.
Yeah.
It's time. It's getting late.
Unfortunately, ma'am, it doesn't work that way. I appreciate that. That's your concern. And there are many other people who are saying they would like to see someone get here locked up. But the fact is that it doesn't work that way. You can't just take somebody into custody just so. The Marlene McDonald prosecution is a result of hours and probably days and weeks of investigation. It's documented. They bring a charge with support. We in Barbados speak about locking up people as though it's just to go and pluck them off the sidewalk and put them in prison. It doesn't work that way. I personally have always been a lot more comfortable with the New Testament approach, ironically, than the Old Testament approach. So I would say to people when they come into government, turn the other cheek and leave the locking up and the hanging, you know, for the Old Testament believers that are not going anywhere. But anyhow, that's just me. Final word from you, ma'am? Okay, she's gone. Okay, thanks a lot for calling. It was good chatting with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Good morning. The board is still full.
Peter?
Yes, morning. Good afternoon, sir.
A blessed good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I'm great. And yourself?
This is Mr. Agriculture.
Hey, how is it, sir?
I'm holding on. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as well. Peter, I want to say thank you to the Sanitation Authority for coming yesterday and cleaning up my neighborhood. As you know, I spoke to you last week, and I asked for a cleanup. Then I spoke to Corey Lane and asked for a cleanup again. And then I spoke to the general manager, and he explained to me from what was the internal problems. And I got a collection yesterday because the area was in a state of disrepair. But now the garbage cans are empty and the road is litter-free. I am satisfied.
Okay, so, very good.
You know, we lambaste the entity, but we also have to give them kudos when they do good as well, Peter.
And I would agree with that entirely.
Yeah. Peter, I believe that today the government that we elected is open up the bill for the new miscible marijuana to pass the bill so that you can get the marijuana.
You mean you're talking about the medical bill, or you're saying you want to see the recreational bill?
I want to see the medical bill and the recreational bill.
But there's no recreational bill coming.
Right, and there's no recreational bill coming. And I don't think that it would be fair to look at one aspect of marijuana and leave the other. Because when you raise this marijuana issue, and I was listening to Catherine Shaw, her name is Catherine Shaw?
Charlison Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, she was lambasting her body about this marijuana issue as if it was going through the roof.
She doesn't like it.
Let me tell you something, Peter. Have I told you I have never smoked marijuana, and I have no intentions of smoking marijuana? I come up in the ghetto, you understand? And I am saying to you that I have seen persons smoke marijuana all their life and they do nothing wrong. The problem I see is the dope. What you call this white dust. Yeah. That is the problem. Heroin is the problem. If anybody wants to smoke and to smoke to the smoke cover through the top part of the head, let them smoke. Mm. Peter, and I'm going to say to you that you like your rum, and I don't like a lot of rum. I would drink a what we call now the apple vodka thing now. You know the apple vodka.
I know the apple vodka. Yeah.
Them drinking go in the cold. Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to promote nothing. But what I am saying, alcohol is legal. Marijuana is illegal, okay. And that is the only difference between the two. And I'm going to be honest with you.
Mr. Agriculture, you are preaching. You are preaching to the converted, because right. I have said what you have said over and over again. I do not understand the reason why it is illegal in the first place. And I think that right now, for government to take a marijuana bill to Parliament that speaks to medical marijuana and completely ignores recreational and religious use, is wasting people's time. And I'm sorry, I have to take a step back and distance myself from the Motley administration on this one, because the social issues are related to recreational use. Those are the social issues. The social issues ain't had nothing to do with medical use, and I am at a loss to understand how this medical thing has become so important that we should be rushing to Parliament to deal with this. When you have Grenada, Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, St. Kitts and Nevis, Dominica, everybody is considering, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, considering ganja bills with some level of either religious or recreational component. And we are legislating for medicinal use that nobody in Barbados can benefit from.
Exactly, and Peter, I'm going to go on further to say.
So I with you on this one.
Yeah, from the law standpoint, it is 15 steps backward all the time. To keep you locking up a man for what you would call a 250, as I said to you already, a 5-bag, a 10-piece. And I'm making it abundantly clear again that I am not here to promote anybody that's
nobody thinks so.
Nothing. Because you don't know, Peter, Barbados is a sticky place. And you know me, I don't have
I mean, Mr. Agriculture, my views on it are the same and they're well known. And I am not no person that encourages nobody to smoke. But the reality of the situation is that we have a social problem in this country that has emerged from the fact that recreational ganja is illegal. And I cannot for the life of me understand how, with all the studies that government has benefited from, it could not understand that the greater challenge is dealing with the recreational. You look at the ganja bill in Jamaica, you know, you look at the one in Antigua, and in that environment, we're going to go to Parliament with medical marijuana that nobody in Barbados can benefit from, because there's nobody in Barbados that can produce that kind of grades, so that we can bring in white people now to do that. To me, I don't understand the priorities. Because to me, it leaves a problem pretty much still intact. The problem of the recreational use and the supply of ganja for recreational use.
Right. But Peter, I have to keep saying is that one problem I am faced with as an individual. I you know me, I like the Barbados Labour Party as opposed to the Democratic Labour Party. Because especially with this last administration, apologies for that. But what I found with the Democratic Labour Party, they took care and looked after of their own. But the Barbados Labour Party has a little problem with taking care and looking after of their own. Do not forget that it is the individuals who go into the ballot boxes and put down either yes or no for the certain representatives. And I'm saying to the politicians, do not forget where you come from. Always remember the small man and the little man. Because, Peter, you are a political analyst, and when you look across the board, it is the ghetto youths and the ghetto people and the poor people who just win a government for your country.
You ever stop to think, though, that the part of the problem is that those are the people who want the illegal status to remain?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, don't forget those people.
No, but it's them that want it remain illegal.
I beg your pardon?
I am told that there are many of those people that want it to remain illegal because it preserves a market for them.
But let me tell you something. I just do my homework. I just be wrong.
Agriculture, you know what I'm telling you, I ain't come by this information fly by night. I'm telling you that in all of the islands, there's an industry that's built around illegal marijuana, and because the price is high, because it is illegal. That industry appears unhappy about the fact that it will be decriminalized, which will automatically mean the price will fall, that you will grow it, I will grow it, everybody will grow it, and they're not going to be able to make a decent living and send school to children anymore.
But the problem there is that it is a level of ignorance then, people, for the level of understanding. And what you need to do is the whole levels of meeting to sensitize people about the change now that what you're trying to do, because it is
agriculture, stick a pin. We have to take a commercial, but I just want to put something on the table with you when we come back. Just hold on a second. Yeah, Ms. Agriculture, this is something that you can understand quite well, that a big part of the challenge agriculture faces is low prices.
Right.
The reason why there is so much money to be made in ganja production now is because there is an artificial drought created on the market. So you are artificially altering supply.
Right.
And keeping demand high. So as a result, the price goes up. I mean, it's automatic demand and supply principle.
Because there's no glut.
And the supply cannot be improved, because simply to improve the supply is illegal. So it's difficult to generate more of that product.
Correct.
If, however, you decriminalize the whole thing, like they did in Antigua, anybody could grow 10 plants, right? I think that's the Antiguan rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't smoke ganja, but I got 10 plants home, right?
Right.
You don't smoke ganja, you got 10 plants home, just in case your neighbor want to use it. And the point is that after a while, it will become so commonplace that the guy who was selling this product commercially and making a decent living from it because there was an artificially high price is now saying, I'm not making any money because everybody is growing their own. Ganja is not like sugarcane or it's not something that you have to process. Ganja is something that you basically just dry and smoke for most people.
Let me tell you something, right? You have to do research, and as you know, I got knowledge in agriculture, and I do my research, and there are different strains of marijuana, which we locally call young people, who have to venture out and look for work, and every time you look for a little job where a police certificate of character is concerned, I am saying to you that if a man had $5 in the pocket and decide to buy a 250, which is $250, and roll it, and the police pull up alongside of him or her, they are going to be arrested, because at the end of the day,
Mr. Agriculture, I am not disagreeing with you. So I'm saying that I am not disagreeing with you, because on principle, I think that the whole thing should be decriminalized and liberalized and letting people grow and smoke as they like. The problem I'm making is that there is obviously a lobby, a significant and powerful lobby all across the Caribbean that has been able to suppress this idea of recreational use. Because in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, when this conversation first started, St. Vincent was saying, we're going recreational, religious, and medicinal.
Right.
St. Vincent has now passed a bill that has no recreational use, that has religious use, and has medical use.
But you are saying,
and the only thing I can assume is that this is because there are some vested interests that like it illegal, because they prefer that environment in which they can make a decent living.
But you see that why there will always have to be problems with the policy makers, because they are obviously the policy breakers.
The Motley administration, from the beginning, when they had their manifesto, they have said that they are committed to medical and that anything else would take a referendum. On principle, I do not support that. But in fairness, it is in their manifesto, and that's what they're going with. Personally, yeah, I think that we are wasting time. And if it is that this is what they have committed to in their manifesto, they want to put a referendum now in relation to the other thing, and people will say yes. But my thing is, let's get on with it, because in the meantime, we are wasting precious time, and you are harassing sections of the population.
Exactly.
That could do without that harassment.
Exactly. I'm bringing people before the law courts for ignorance, what we call ignorance. That's the problem I'm making. You're taking people that are trying to live and push forward in life and pulling them away to go to court to pay $754. And you, if you don't got the $754, the shackles and handcuffs and the prison van is not leaving you, Peter. And this is the things that we got to look at, you know.
I don't find that somebody who smokes ganja have any right in court, period.
Yeah, but right.
If you're trafficking, yes. But if you get caught with a spliff or a Ziploc bag, I mean, that cannot be the preoccupation of a modern civilized society.
No, but then you ask, and then we look and to say that we are, the taxpayers' bill is so high, and then it takes X amount of money to feed a prisoner today. But you're taking people and locking them up for frivolous things. We are backwards still, Peter. We are supposed to be an educated society. And I know you understand where I'm coming from, but it's in a sticky situation. Mm-hmm. But we don't pass the law, and all we can do is try to fight and to talk as much as we can so that the powers that be has an understanding that there has to be a better or different way of dealing with business on a daily basis, Peter.
All right, Mr. Agriculture, I want to thank you for your contribution. I have a quotation here from Jonathan, and he's telling me that I need to read Genesis from 14, and it says, "They went in every wild animal according to its kind, and every domestic animal according to its kind, and every creeping animal on the earth according to its kind, and every flying creature according to its kind, and every bird and winged creature." 15, "They kept going to Noah's inside the ark, two by two, every sort of flesh and has the breath of life. So they went in, male and female, every sort of flesh, just as God had commanded, and Jehovah shut the door behind him." Now, he's telling me that based on this, I need to do research on what is domestic animals. But somewhere in here, I see something about wild animals. Yeah. Every wild animal according to its kind. So a dinosaur would have been a wild animal according to its kind. A woolly mammoth would have been a wild animal according to his kind. So I really do feel that persons like Jonathan ought not to have this conversation with me, because it's not making sense. You're contradicting yourself. Down the brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Mr. Vickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I see you having a problem with your whole time with dinosaurs. Anyway, I remember Charlie Hatch when I first came on the radio. Ken and Hatch also went to Cotton College. I remember my pronunciation of a technical term that I need to be corrected by speaking and I was speaking. With that said, we actually get your friends in Cotton College to explain to us why the British government put their Bible into the Caribbean region and other colonies, including Africa, 1 year after slavery was abolished in the English Parliament.
Mm-hmm. You can do that. I don't know.
You know, because it's really amazing, because it baffles a lot of people why they put it one year after. And perhaps it would not also mind bringing for the history, the oldest existing history of the church from complied by Eusebius, who sat in the Constantine. Which is that Cotton College played for the probably in the 90s, and actually got a copy, well, I have a copy for myself from overseas. I have identical copies of what's in Cotton College. This is really amazing, because it was shown in the history of the church that the Greeks have a false history. Yet, if you look into UNESCO's history, general history of Africa, in each and every preface, it says that Greek oral history was preferred over African oral heritage. How come they knew from the first century Clement of Alexandria, who was the best of the Christian apologists, proved that the Greeks had a false history. Yes, that same false history was chosen over African history. These kind of questions are really what I'm interested in. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for calling. 4341790, good afternoon.
Peter?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
My friend Brains, how are you, sir?
I'm trying to stay as focused as the good Lord would allow me to.
Good. You do that.
Yes, I always do. Now, I want to say two things to you. One, floor move the call center from Barbados to St. Lucia, then from St. Lucia to El Salvador, then from El Salvador to Jamaica, and it is now in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what the difficulty in bringing it back. or bringing some of it back to Barbados. That's what Lake Florida tell us. What is the difficulty in bringing? Because I believe that Barbados is one of the countries in the Caribbean that Flo make a lot of money out of.
The problem is that Barbados' wage rate is probably too high.
Yeah, could be.
Not could be. I'm sure that is what it is.
Yeah.
If you are a regional company, you have the option of putting your institutions in any country, but do not put them in the place that gives you the lowest wage rate.
Yeah, but you see, the thing about Flo is that Flo has studied the bottom line too much. They got to think about the people too. Barbados might got a high wage rate, but they also make a lot of money off of the business too.
Yeah, but it's a regional company, so they have to look at the big picture. And the argument is that the big picture is not helped by the fact that our wage rate is so high.
Well, I would like them to look at Barbados and bring the system and bring the operation back here again.
Barbados can't compete with call centers in places like Dominican Republic and those places because they speak English. The tasks that they're asked to perform are relatively straightforward, and their wage rates are next to nothing.
But Peter, but how then you could got call centers in Barbados that's run by the Americans? You know what
I got? I guess their market conditions are different. There are some call centers that would require some component that we perhaps have here. Maybe they require a person that's slightly better educated. And that is what we would offer. But if you're talking about basic call center services, there's no reason why you would need to come to Barbados.
Anyway, the next thing I want to mention to you is this.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you hold the alarming off.
Oh, what?
But you know, there's one thing that I hear you talk about yet for the day.
What's this?
I really shouldn't say that I hear you talk about because I didn't hear the program in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not heard you spoken anything about the rock hall situation in St. Philip. And I want to tell you...
Peter, I haven't, no.
And I want to tell you... But you ain't going to talk about it, you see?
No, I could talk about it. What do you want me to say?
Listen, you ain't going to talk about it, Peter, because whenever you open your mouth, you'll be talking about business as xenophobic.
But Rock Hall is not about foreign or local. Rock Hall is about squatting. And I have a very clear position on squatting, so not an issue for me.
Listen, it ain't going to be an issue for you. But if you check, according to the investigations, it was said that more than three-quarters of the people that are in Rock Hall squatting, out to be 300 homes that got there.
That's a detail.
More than three-quarters are
that's foreign, a detail.
Foreign.
That is a detail. That's a detail about which I am not interested or concerned. If you're going to take a position on policy and you're going to say that there are certain areas that people should not be living for safety reasons in regard to airport or for water table reasons or whatever, then people need to be moved. It's as simple as that. I am not concerning myself with the nationality. The nationality is irrelevant. And I thought that for the newspaper to throw in that was a piece of nasty reporting because it is not relevant.
But Peter...
So you're going to tell me that if it was Beijing's living day, the rules will have a different effect on the airplanes? The airplanes is checked to see the nationality of the host?
But squatting is squatting regardless of...
Precisely, so let's deal with squatting. Let's deal with squatting.
Right.
And let's say that we're taking a position against squatting. Let's not concern ourselves with the nationality of the squatters.
But listen, I only want to let you know
mm-hmm.
that you always talking about business being xenophobic. And if the reports say that more than three-quarters of the people that are squatting up there I don't like to call Caribbean people foreigners, but people from the other Caribbean territories. They're squatting. Then Beijing's got a right.
No, they don't have a right to be xenophobic. You and I just get away with that all the time, you know. Sir, there is no basis on which you have a right to be xenophobic. None. And I am saying to you that if you and I can agree, you know about marine, you might know a little bit about airplanes. If it is that you have agreed that there should not be particular buildings in the flight path of the airport, either behind the runway or in front of the runway, case closed. The people need to be moved.
But Peter,
the problem is that moving squatters is easy in theory, but in practice, it can become very challenging. I remember well, Eric Williams had a time on his hands when he built a new highway all the way down to Salford. Dennis will tell you that because when they first went to Trinidad in the 90s, the highway used to stop and then start back because they had a squatter community right in the middle that said they're not moving. And every time they go to move them, they bring TV cameras and people laying out in front of the tractor and saying them got a right to be there.
And I know
so it's not easy. I can guarantee you that if they try to move those ones from a rock call, it would also be politicized. But you know what? If they have to go, they have to go.
But Peter, listen to me. listen to me. I also know what the man that the doctor think he was that said he can starve himself to death in that Trinidad road, that Trinidad highway.
Well, that was a different highway. That was the South Highway.
Right, but listen to what he's saying. You know that the move houses from just to the west end of the airport,
mm-hmm.
to the west end of the runaway where planes come down before the land. But you know they got houses to the east end, up in the Gaza area, where planes fly over the houses as they take off. And they never thought about moving them.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that if they got to move, they got to move.
If they got to move, they got to move. Right. Yeah.
And I don't believe in squatting either.
So let me not get tied up with the nationality of the individuals, and let's just say, look, if we ever agree they need to be moved, they need to be moved. Case closed, full stop.
But Peter, let me say something else to you that you may not know. You see that area there where those people are squatting?
Mm-hmm.
You know that was a dump.
I didn't know that.
There was a dump.
Okay.
There was a dump. And it used to burn a lot and affect the people on the airport. But that district where the people are squatting, that district gone to the east and joined partially.
Those people have water and electricity up in there? They don't have water or electricity. Okay.
Somebody was saying this morning that I can't remember if it was on this station or another one, where they were saying that they got this guy up in there that they sell water, and sometimes the water is more expensive than if they get it from the waterworks.
Yeah,
and they don't know if they got electricity.
There's an easy one to fix. Look, the problem is one of squatting, and I think that if they are threatening a water table, if they are threatening the safety of aircraft, they had to be moved. And the problem, of course, is that government may very well find itself having to house them. But ultimately, if they got to go, they got to go. That's what town country planning is there for.
But Peter, I really honestly believe, right? I honestly believe that should look not only at the squatters in Rock Hall, but look at the squatters around this country and give them land.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had squatters in the same Genswick before Genswick developed into where it is now. And Genswick is now a beautiful place. Because I used to live up there and I know up in there.
Okay.
And the house I used to live up was on squatters land.
Mm-hmm.
But then the man hired black man at the car Rambo, you remember him?
I remember Rambo, yeah.
Right, he used to live just out on the outskirts of Genswick. And he used to come up there every weekend and ask the people to if they could put down houses, to put them down in the uniform here, so then they're ready to build the roads. But the thing about Genswick is that they always was planning to give the people the land. And the people put down the houses that when they came and they built the roads, the houses were not in the way. Only one or two had to change positions. But they were good. But I really honestly believe, Peter, that the government needs to look at dealing with the squatters around this country. And if the government got the amount of land that could accommodate all of them, the business squatters should be given priority first, and then anybody else after. Because it is not nice. It's not nice for people to be squatting. They ain't got no indoor or outdoor facility. I want to know what it's doing with the feces. And the urine and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But don't forget, I thought up in there was a dump. Right where the people squatting in that whole area there was a dump. And while two people used to live near in the area and they moved them because they say that they were affecting the airport.
Yeah.
But
right.
I want to say also to you, Peter, that me and David Ellis had this discussion last week. And 3 minutes before the close of play, he cut me off. Then I could have had that 3 minutes to finish my conversation with him. And it was just simply this. He read from a document that said that Guyana is now growing at 16%. And I heard in another area on the radio too that Guyana's economy will grow to 16% from when to start to pump the oil from the ground. I want you to tell me, if it is now at 16%, I'm moving on. What has changed in Guyana between now and the last 5 or 10 years that would cause them now at this time to be growing at the economy to be growing at 16%?
But it's oil. It's obvious. It's oil.
But Peter, they start up on the oil.
But that's not the point. There's already been a significant investment in Guyana. There are people who have relocated to Guyana to work in the energy sector. Land prices have gone up in some areas. Housing is harder to find in some areas at a particular economic level. Because the economic outlook in Guyana has changed by virtue of the fact that there's oil to be exploited. And once companies are positioning themselves to exploit it, you will automatically have a growth for your GDP. When somebody decides they're going to rent an apartment for one of their executives, right? They have people living in their hotel for the last 2 years working on the energy sector. That is a significant contribution.
Right.
So that's why, that's the reason why. Anyhow, we got to run though. What was it?
Before I go, let me say this. I could agree with you just there. But you also heard that the no phone, sometime this week or last week, the phone, more oil again in Ghana.
No, yeah, there's a lot of oil left, right, and center.
And they say that within another 5 years, Ghana is going to be among the top three oil producers in the world.
That's right.
All right, man.
Keep good with the Ghanese.
I always good with the Ghanese. I got a problem with the Ghanese that come to this country. I want to get trouble. But the ones that come into work and make a contribution to this GDP, to our country, I don't have an issue with them.
All right, sir.
As much as them that want to come, wants to come into work and contribute. Right.
Thanks a lot for calling. I have a WhatsApp here, Peter. How cool are you with illegal immigrants squatting around your home? If they are illegal, they need to go. You know, these kinds of comments are unfortunate. And quite frankly, nasty. The point I am making is that I have a problem with housing which is illegal, squatting in places that pose a danger to A, my public health, or B, public safety. The nationality of the person living in that house is irrelevant. And I think it's unfortunate, sir or ma'am, whoever it is, that you would seize on this whole question and talk about if I want somebody illegal or wrong by me. That's not the issue here. The issue here is squatting and the impact of squatting. Let's focus on that if we can for a minute, and let us forget this irrelevant issue of what nationality the squatters are. If they were Bajan squatters, my views would be no different. Down the brass tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. I can see like about two more calls on the line, and I'm hoping that for the first time in a long time, I'll be able to get to speak to everyone that called on the program. So let's say good afternoon and welcome. Are you there, sir? Okay, we have another call. Good afternoon and welcome.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I want to get on to you about one of your callers.
Mm-hmm.
About two or three calls before. What's his name? The agricultural man. You listen to me?
I hear you, but you somebody calling you?
Oh, I don't mind the word calling me. I'll get back to that later on.
All right. So what happened, Mr. This thing go, you know? Mr. Agriculture has already admitted to what he's done. Sir, let's let this go and let's move on. All right. Anything else? Sorry, I could go to the last caller. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Last caller, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir, how are you doing?
Not bad.
Good.
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome to the program. Sorry it's so late in the day, but, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Mm. I just think that legalizing marijuana...
You are what?
I am thinking that creating to legalize the marijuana entirely is going to create a bigger problem with crime.
How is that?
Because I think marijuana employs about 30,000 people. On and off.
And how is that going to create a bigger problem with crime?
Because when these 30,000 people can't find work, can't feed the children, what's going to happen to them then? Mm. It's going to be great. I know, to me, it's going to create a bigger problem.
So you're saying that the illegal trade employs 30,000 people?
Over 30,000, I'm being modest. Okay. 30,000.
And you feel that government is concerned about those people?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt what you're saying is true, you know. It is entirely possible that it is true. But to me, you're weighing the social cost of that versus the cost of criminalizing what I estimate to be 30% of the Barbadian population that uses ganja recreationally. Because when 33%, in the last survey we did, it was 30-something percent of people who said that they use ganja recreationally. 30-something percent of your population is breaking the law regularly. That potentially could be a lot of people in prison. And I just think that from a social perspective, it's a bad idea to criminalize that many people. But I hear you. I hear you about the dislocation that can be caused by the decriminalization.
What Mr. Grange is doing in Ghana, to decriminalize, if you get hold of a certain quantity, that would solve the problem with the prison and everything.
But that's Antigua position too.
Right. But anything different to that to go and actually decriminalize the whole industry, it's going to put a strain, a camp. Trust me, it's going to get chaotic.
But, sir, the challenge I'm still having is that even if you create the opportunity, like Antigua has done the 10-plant rule, right, where you create the opportunity for an individual to have 10 plants, that is also going to create a level of confusion in the sector that you're concerned about. Because the average person doesn't smoke that much ganja.
No.
So what I'm saying is that if you have the capacity to grow small quantities, then your reliance on someone to supply you illegally is no longer going to be there, which I think is good, but it also has a fallout where your unemployment issue is concerned.
Correct.
So the fellow who makes a living running spliffs or whatever for somebody who is the distributor, he loses a job. Right.
There's so many aspects here that Mr. Agriculture, I heard him before. Well, he was one of my favorite moderators, I must say, right? But I heard Mr. Agriculture, you know, that he's doing his research and he ain't got a clue what's really going on.
I think he got a lot of clues. I think he understands.
I understand. Yeah, there's certain aspects to it, right? But Mr. Agriculture is far off base, trust me. There's so many aspects to it that the average person that is not actually around the situation does not know. They ain't got a clue. They're guessing.
I don't claim to be around it, and I don't claim to know, but I have a slight understanding, and my personal feeling, sir, is that we need to do something about recreational and religious use. I feel that it is unfortunate that we are going forward to the medicinal, and we haven't addressed that, because that, to me, is a serious demand in Barbados. Final word from you, sir. Okay, all right, you're gone. All right, well, thanks a lot for calling. I want to thank all of you who called and made the program what it was. This was my first time back in the chair for 4 hours, and the time did go quickly. I wasn't feeling 100%, but certainly speaking to you helped to lift my spirits and my general tone of health. So I want to thank all of you for calling. Special thanks also to Mr. Dennis Johnson for producing today's program. I look forward to being with you next week, Tuesday, which will be the final program I'll do for the time being on Down to Brass Tacks. So next week, Tuesday, look forward to chatting again, and I leave you now in the capable hands of Mr. Larry Mears.